All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Monday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl, Dylan Lark hanging out here with you. Going to dive into today some transfer portal players that the Auburn Tigers are currently interested in. Finally, it took the entire transfer portal for some legitimate prospects that Auburn may be interested in and actually have a legitimate shot at getting. It took almost the entire portal for these players to actually enter. So we're going to dive into it today, going to talk about it. We've got quarterbacks that we can actually talk about and not be facetious over. We've got two QBs we're going to get to today, a couple of outside linebacker edge gack types, also going to get to a couple of wide receivers as well. If you're listening on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe to the channel, getting closer and closer to 1,000 subscribers on the Auburn Daily YouTube channel every single day. Also, if you're listening on podcast, leave us a review. Let us know what you think about the show. We would appreciate that as well. Dylan, we've got two QBs here. We want to start off with Casey Thompson, transfer from Nebraska, formerly of Texas. He took a visit to Auburn over the weekend, and he is a quarterback that the Tigers are looking at right now. We've got a lot of information about Casey Thompson. In fact, if you want to go over to auburndaily.com, I just put up an article about some stats, career notes, and some highlight performances of what we've seen from Thompson over the years. But Dylan, take me through your thoughts on the man, the myth, the legend, Casey Thompson.
Yeah, so I look at him as a dual threat. I've gone on record and said that he is the best of both worlds when looking at Holden Gerner and Robbie Ashford, because he can run the ball and he can also make any throw on the field given a good scheme. We saw his last year at Texas. He had a really good season. I think it was 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in his last year at – yep, that's correct, the last year at Texas. And then he transferred to Nebraska, which wasn't the best idea. You're going into the last year, Scott Frost, who got fired, and I think they waited a little too long to fire him. That's just my opinion. But Casey Thompson, I think, offers Auburn the best chance out of any of the transfer portal quarterbacks we've seen in this period, at least, to win more games. I think that Casey Thompson gives you a little bit more leeway in a lot of games, and he probably makes you the – he probably has the best – would be the best quarterback in the state of Alabama amongst the SEC teams.
Yeah, because the this is something that we've yet to talk about on the show, which I would love to dive into at some point, just talking about Alabama's quarterback situation. Because here's the I'll just say this and we'll leave it. If the expectation is for Tyler Buchner to come in and compete for slash win the starting job for Alabama, I'm saying this from the least biased place I possibly can. That's a problem. That is a problem for Alabama. Just very, very gently want to say that. That is an issue. So Casey Thompson, like you mentioned, 24 touchdowns, 9 picks in his full season, I believe, starting, well, actually not full season, for his season where he started the most games for the Longhorns. Explosive. I think he was fun to watch. His footwork has not always been the most elite, but that's because he's kind of been on his toes behind some offensive lines. Like last year, you said at Nebraska, I mean, that was just not the place to go if the expectation was to develop yourself a little bit further. And Thompson, I think, has shown flashes in certain games. He's looked really, really good. But overall, Dylan, something that I was looking at earlier when I was putting his career essentially together here for an article, he doesn't have a lot of great wins underneath his belt. He's not had the opportunity to play a lot of really, really good teams. He's had some moments, like I said, he's dominated in some performances, but overall, I want to see him in a different situation, like a situation like Auburn. I think that it would be very beneficial for him because of his surroundings. He's got better offensive line play, I think, than what he had at either Texas or Nebraska. He's got a better backfield, I think, outside of obviously having Bijan Robinson for that time period there. I think overall he's got a better backfield in terms of depth. Receiving core, probably not better than what he had at Texas, but I think it's definitely better than what he had at Nebraska. And then you look at the defense. This is something that I noted in this article over at auburndaily.com. In the 7 losses where Thompson threw for at least 179 yards in his career with the Cornhuskers, the Nebraska had a lead heading into the fourth quarter 5 of those times. Excuse me, that's not just for his career at Nebraska. It's for both Texas and Nebraska. So he's had 13 losses over his career. 7 of those, he threw for at least 179 yards, and his team had a fourth quarter lead. 5 of those games, they were blowing leads left and right. The defense gave up an average of 42 points per game in those seven losses. He needs a better defense. He needs better surroundings. He needs better playmakers around him, and he needs more consistency, because this is a kid that has not been inconsistent, I think, statistically. I think that you look at his overall completion percentage, 63.5. He's been good in the games where he's had opportunities to be good against good to average defenses. He's been against the teams that have had really good defenses. He needs a better supporting cast, and to be honest with you, a better coaching staff and better play callers around him as well, which I think is something that he would get with Philip Montgomery, with Hugh Freeze. This is a quarterback that has still, although he's played for four seasons in college, a lot of upside in terms of what he could put together in a singular year. Would he be elite at Auburn? No, but I think that he's the type of quarterback that you would want to get under center that has the experience, the explosiveness, the ability to extend plays. He's not as mobile as Robbie Ashford. He's got a better arm. He's more accurate than Robbie Ashford. I think that he offers you an opportunity to raise your ceiling here at Auburn. I think that's maybe not the best way, what thing to say here. It raises your ceiling, but I think at the end of the day, what Auburn's trying to look for in a QB, which is why we're going to talk about this next guy, is a quarterback that raises your floor, because right now Auburn's floor is very low, I think, for what you expect out of that QB room. So Casey Thompson is somebody that I would be very excited about landing, and I think that he would definitely make this team better.
Oh, for sure. You want to get ready to talk about Peyton Thorne?
Yeah, so let's dive into Peyton Thorne here real quick. So the Michigan State quarterback entered the portal on Sunday. It was quite literally the last day he could enter yesterday, and he decided to hit the transfer portal. A former three-star quarterback, he was not necessarily a well-known commodity coming out of high school. In 2021, he had a really good year with Michigan State, 27 passing touchdowns. That's actually a school record for the Spartans, 3,232 yards as well, 49 touchdowns and 24 interceptions over the course of 29 games at Sparty, two seasons of eligibility remaining. He is he's not, I think, as consistent as Casey Thompson. I think he's just as explosive when it comes to the deep ball, and then as far as just what Hugh Freeze wants out of his type of quarterback. I think that Thorne was, I need to go check the statistics for his rushing numbers, but I don't think he was as mobile as Thompson, but you watch the film when this kid ran the ball, he looked a little bit like more smooth than Thompson. I'll say that. Maybe not as fast, but maybe a little bit more smooth. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got the rush stats for you. So in 2021, so his best statistical season, 82 attempts, 181 yards, and 4 touchdowns on the ground. But 82 attempts going to the fact that he got sacked, and those counts as rushing attempts, which they shouldn't, but they do. But you look at it from the offensive line standpoint, the offensive lines look pretty similar between his Michigan State O-lines and what Casey Thompson had to deal with at both Texas and Nebraska. Yeah. And I think maybe Peyton Thorne is probably the more potent passer. I think we saw that in 2021. I think he's a better passer than Casey Thompson, but I would have to say he's a better runner. He's not as good as a runner as Casey Thompson is. And honestly, I think if you look at it comparable, Peyton Thorne's best season was when Kenneth Walker should have been Heisman contention season. And you look at it from that, he would be coming into an Auburn team that has a running back room consistent of Jarquez Hunter, Brian Battee, Damari Alston, Jeremiah Cobb, and Sean Jackson. And I think that probably gives you, I don't say a more talented room, but I'm going to say it, a more talented room. Because outside of Kenneth Walker, I don't think Michigan State really had that guy. I think we saw it last season. But if Peyton Thorne really needs a good running back to do well in college ball, I think Auburn's probably a really good landing spot for him.
Yeah, I think that the important thing here to note about Auburn's running back room is like you said, it may not have like Jarquez Hunter right now is not Kenneth Walker. He may turn out to be Kenneth Walker. I doubt it because of how few Freeze is going to utilize his running backs, but this is one of the deepest running back rooms Auburn's had in a minute. And I think that having that beside you is going to be beneficial, and it'll help boost a guy like Peyton Thorne. It would help boost anybody if you had that in your backfield and you were able to run the ball like we expect Auburn to. this season. So Peyton Thorne is a guy that, like you said, is probably a more polished passer, a more potent passer is a really good word to use there. And he would be somebody, either of these guys, I would be perfectly fine with. We could kind of nitpick individual things that these guys do. For instance, both these guys are turnover prone at times. Thompson certainly has a litany of games in his career where he's thrown two picks. I don't think he's ever thrown more than two in a game, but there's a lot of games that he has where he's thrown two. And so I think that that's something you can nitpick. Thorne threw 11 interceptions to 19 touchdowns last season. You know, these guys, maybe you put them in a different situation and they act and they operate a little bit differently. Sure. But I mean, Hugh Freeze quarterbacks have been gamblers in the past. They've thrown a lot of interceptions. So who knows? Maybe that's part of, hey, this is why these guys fit. They throw picks too. But yeah, Dylan, I would be fired up about either of these guys joining, because again, it's about raising the ceiling. Sure. But I think the most important thing Freeze is trying to do here in year one is establish a baseline, establish a foundation, and raise that floor. And I think either of these guys would help accomplish that, and then also set up the future.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I think between choosing between Robbie Ashford and Holden Garner and choosing between Kaiser Thompson and Peyton Thorne probably gives Auburn fans one or two extra wins that they weren't expecting to get.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think, well, ESPN FBI was wrong in saying Auburn's going to go 5-7, which is wild to me. But you look at some of those SEC games that might be 50-50 games, Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M, experienced quarterback like a Peyton Thorne or a Kaiser Thompson could really help sway that into Auburn's favor.
Absolutely. So those are the two quarterbacks there that the Tigers are currently looking at. We're going to get to an edge here, an outside linebacker type that used to play at Appalachian State. He is Jalen McLeod. Is how we're going to, or is that where we're going to roll with here?
I believe so. Yes.
So Jalen McLeod. It might be I don't know how else you would pronounce it. If it's Jalen McLeod, then I'll just be an idiot here for a few minutes. But played three seasons with the Mountaineers over there in the Sun Belt. Had a really solid year last season. 7.5 sacks, 41 tackles. He entered the transfer portal, and if I'm not mistaken, took a visit to Auburn as well. This is a guy that Auburn is honing in on. To be completely honest with you, I think Auburn's going to land him at some point in the near future. I think it's just a matter of time before that commitment happens. I feel very confident about the Tigers getting this guy. What I want to note here, Dylan, about Jalen is that he had some really good performances over the course of his three seasons with the Mountaineers against really good teams. If you remember, Dylan, take you back to last September, the Texas A&M Aggies were taking on App State. And that was one of the most painful games I've witnessed for a team not named Auburn. It was a 17-14 win for the Mountaineers. Just the clock management masterclass is all I have to say there. But for Jalen, it was a huge game. Three tackles, two of them were sacks. He went off in this one, really, really getting after the quarterback. Obviously, A&M, all the talent in the world, apparently scheme. Nowhere to be found at times for the Aggies, but that was a huge game for him. And then the year prior, if I'm not mistaken, in 2021, played a really solid game against Miami. Had four tackles and a sack in that one. I mean, whenever the game is serious, whenever the lights are the brightest, it seems like Jalen has really stepped up. And Auburn needs somebody like that on the edge of their defensive line here, because they've not had guys get home consistently. And having just another body in this edge jack room, whatever you want to call it, would be very, very valuable for the Tigers at this point, especially after losing Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, you talk about how he does well against good teams. It seems like he's good at knocking some of those overrated teams down a peg in Texas A&M and Miami, not to call anybody out, but that Texas A&M team last year might be one of the most overrated teams in the history of college football. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you lose Dylan Brooks and you immediately probably find your, I don't want to say a starter, because I feel like he's at the battle out with Elijah McAllister at the very least. But you get a guy who's a very solid talent out of the Fun Belt, one of my premier conferences in college football. And at the 6'1", 230, he's a good size for an edge rusher, if that's even a real position anymore. and I think it gives Auburn solid depth. And, I mean, you got to have depth of the D-line. It's outside the offensive line, it's the most interchangeable position group in the sport in general, because you're constantly just hitting other 300-pound guys, and you get tired very quickly. I know, because I played defensive end back in my old football days, and you get tired within the first three or four plays, depending on what the play calling is. And with how he's played against A&M in general, I mean, as bad as A&M was last year, their O-line was decent at times, and you think that in a system where he was mostly running the ball, he made his point, and he made his presence shown against a team in the highest level of the game. So I think it'd be a great pickup for Auburn and Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, I've almost threw my mic across the table trying to get to my keyboard there. I'm just trying to pull up Auburn's schedule, because I just want to remind everybody, this is a kid that played really well against A&M. Like you said, knocking teams down a peg. Auburn goes to A&M in week four this season. It's their first SEC game of the season. Would be hilarious to see him go off once again against the Aggies. We're creating storylines where you know, the book hasn't even been considered to be written yet. So we'll see what happens there with Jalen. I would be very excited to land somebody that would help the depth at that position, because Auburn needs it badly, whatever position it is. Like you said, does Edge exist anymore? Is it Jack? Whatever. I don't know.
Another interesting point to mention, if you look at 2012 season, where Auburn bottom of the barrel, in 2013, their first SEC game was against Texas A&M. Mm. And 2022, where Auburn looked like they were bottom of the barrel, their first season with a new coach is next year, and their first SEC game is going to be at A&M again. So
a lot of comparisons to be made. Former Arkansas State coaches as well.
Oh, yeah.
Want to point that out there. Very, a lot of ties to be made around Auburn football and the luck and things that have happened across the spectrum. So those are three players. We're going to get to three more here. Another edge prospect coming up in just a second. Before we talk about that, just want to let you know that this video is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online nowadays is an ever-growing difficulty. It's really easy to get exploited by things just browsing the internet, getting exploited by hackers, and NordVPN can definitely help you and protect your privacy, make you harder to track, change your IP address. And if you check out the link in the episode description, you can check out an offer that NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers. Again, check out the link in the description today. NordVPN can help you out and prioritize safety in your browsing experience. So we've got three players down. We've got three more to go. Another edge here, Jack prospect outside. I don't know. It's somewhere on the defensive line. He's getting after the quarterback, Isaac Ukwu. And I'm going to sit on that last name pronunciation until somebody tells me otherwise, because I have not heard somebody else pronounce his name. And quite frankly, we tried to look it up here before we started the show to see if James Madison's roster had pronunciation for it. They did not. To whose surprise? I don't really know. But point being, Dylan wants to call him Isaac. I'm going to call him Isaac and maybe say Ukwu and just be wrong the amount of times that I say it. But right now, Ukwu would be an interesting piece to add on to this edge room as well. Again, depth is a priority here. But I think as far as experience goes, he may be one of the most experienced players in all of college football. He has been playing since 2017. He missed the 17, 19, and 2020 seasons with injury. This dude's been playing for forever, and he's had some really solid moments as well. 7.5 sacks for the Dukes of James Madison last year. Auburn is looking at adding anybody that they can, I think, in this room just to give that depth. Is it going to be McLeod? Is it going to be Ukwu? I don't know who it's going to be. If Auburn gets one, do they get the other? That's another question we have to ask. Again, like you said, with McAllister and Falk also being, you know, a possibility here. But Ukwu is another solid player in the portal.
Yeah, and I'm looking at his size, 6'3", 260. I mean, dude's big. He is huge. And, I mean, JMU had one of the best seasons out of a first-year FBS team that we've seen, because I don't think there's ever been a more FBS-ready FCS team outside of this James Madison team. And Isaac, because I don't want to mispronounce it too much, really showed out with his 7.5 sacks, which was tied 35th. But you got to understand, there's a lot of people playing that position, getting sacks. Looking at it from that, I mean, dude popped off. 40 tackles, 22 solo from the defensive line is huge. I mean, he was getting guys from getting past that line of scrimmage very quickly. Forced a fumble. Dude's good. He's really good. And I mean, when you play in the college football for 8 years, it's kind of hard not to be really good at playing the sport. But yeah, I think he'd be a solid depth piece as well. I think that out of the two, I think McLeod's probably the closest one to probably being a starter. Just because I think Ukwu in 6 years, I guess he would just be behind probably McAllister at that point.
Yeah. And then in the 2021 season, I want to note this, 43 total tackles, 16 and a half tackles for loss, and then 9.5 sacks. So this kid's been productive in the time that he's been healthy. You get him a year at Auburn, possibly. Again, I don't know what it looks like if McLeod commits, but he would be another, again, like you said, very valuable depth piece. Two more players here, two that I honestly don't know a ton about, but I'm more intrigued to learn about them the more people talk about their relation to Auburn. Ohio State wide receiver Caleb Burton, a former wide receiver for the Buckeyes. He just took a visit to Auburn and said that he was blown away, said he didn't think it was going to be this nice. I've never even heard about this facility or anything in it. He was very excited to see what Auburn had to offer. And that's really, really good to hear for a former OSU receiver, because we know how loaded and how stacked Ohio State is at certain positions, and receiver may be the best one that they have, hands down. So Burton would be a very, very valuable piece to this receiving room, I think.
Yeah, and with how loaded that wide receiver room is at any given time, you got to understand that play time is why this guy transferred. Yep. If you look at his ESPN, he did not record a single stat for Ohio State. He was a 4-star out of Texas. He played at Lake Travis High School in Austin, Texas. 4-star wide receiver, number 10 wide receiver in his class of 2022, the 12th player in Texas, 71st player nationally in his class. At 6 foot, or I guess 5'11", dude kind of lied about that on his 24/7. At 5'11", 169, I think you're looking at a Tavarius Dawson or Jarius Johnson type level player. I think he's more of a speedy threat who's going to probably play that slot role inside the Nick Martner and Camden Brown. But I don't know if I'd start him over Coy Moore just because of the experience. But I guess if Ohio State recruited him, you got to think he's a pretty daggum good wide receiver. We saw with Kyan Lee this spring in terms of guys that really Ohio State really wanted to get, and they didn't.
This is the point I want to make here. You're browsing, you know, the 24/7 sports, the On3s of the world. Look at his two comparisons and the evaluations by Gabe Brooks. So he did one in 2019, comped him with Jerry Jeudy. And in 2022, he comped him with Tylan Wallace. I don't know if you know who Wallace is, former Oklahoma State Cowboy. Those are two very good college receivers. And if this is a guy that was a, you know, very solid 4-star, that was originally committed to Ohio State, like you said, playing time's probably the problem here. I don't think that he would be hurting for playing time at Auburn if he is as good as advertised, according to the scouts. So I think that he would be, I don't want to overstate it because we've not gotten to see the kid play. Just based on what we know about OSU and about the scouting, he would be a big commitment for Auburn to have somebody in this receiver room that's younger, that's higher rated, that has that upside on paper, that can show out in future years. We could do this with Peyton Thorne next season after he gets a year to develop. We could do this with Walker White for a couple of years here down the road. I mean, you pair up solid quarterback play with a solid speedy receiver. This would be an intriguing pickup for the Auburn Tigers. Again, said he was blown away by what he saw at Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, you can never have too many wide receivers. No. And after Auburn lost Tarvarius Dawson, and was there another wide receiver I'm blanking on?
King, but somebody before that.
A Warsham? That's how I'm thinking.
Zalem, yeah, Warsham.
Dazlin.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Dazalin? Is it Dazlin?
But yeah, after Auburn lost a few wide receivers to the portal, it wouldn't hurt to get another guy, especially the guy who Ohio State really had their eyes on. I mean, he was 96. His rating was 96. So he's really close to that five-star rating.
Yeah.
And I think that given the fact that he has 4 years of eligibility, I would assume he got redshirted if he didn't play. He would probably develop really well into a long-term prospect of the wide receiver, especially for future quarterbacks coming in, i.e. Walker White.
Final receiver I want to talk about here, somebody that was not rated nearly as high as Caleb Burton, but maybe just as intriguing of a pickup, Montana Lamonius Craig. You heard that correctly. That is a correct pronunciation on the Auburn Daily Show. Got one in the books. But Montana Lamonius Craig, 6'2", 185-pound sophomore, heading into his junior year. He was offered by Auburn coming out of high school. Instead, he turned the offer down, went to Colorado last season. He was solid for the Buffs in what was one of their worst years in program history. And he will be transferring out of the program. 34 catches, 497 yards, and 5 touchdowns are his career totals. He is somebody that popped off in the spring game and then said, "All right, guys, I'm out. That was enough tape for me." Apparently, Deion's not letting kids have tape, so he just said, "Why not I just go ball out in the spring game? That's good enough tape for anybody in the country." He took a visit to Auburn here just a couple of days ago over the weekend. Just like Caleb Burton, Lamonius Craig would be somebody that would add on to this room and would be, again, I hate to use the word over and over and over, but another valuable pickup. This is finally, we're getting to see some players enter the portal where it's like, not only could these guys not just be depth pieces, but they could be impactful. They could be very impactful.
I'm quickly imagining a world where Lamonius Craig becomes a star-studded wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers in the future, and I get to wear future Auburn star wide receiver jersey that says Lamonius Craig. It's a Hall of Fame name, as it is, right? Because that name is awesome.
Now, what number are we pairing with that?
I think what did he wear? He wore number one.
I want to say he wore one, yeah.
I think Lamonius Craig deserves the number one.
Oh, absolutely.
If not, I'm thinking like a nice little, it's got to be a single digit, right? It's got to be. Or at least an 80s number. An 80s number might look sick. Like an 88 or an 89. That would look dope. Well, you can't wear 88. Never mind. It's Terry Beasley.
Yeah.
But like an 84 maybe. But yeah, I think overall, yeah, star guy right there. And you say he popped off in the spring game. He did. He joins the entire roster full of Colorado players that have entered the transfer portal over the course of the last couple months. And I think it's 6'2", 185, and as good as he seems, and with that name, you can't really keep him off the field, because I know as a broadcaster, they gotta love saying his name when he catches a ball, like Montana Lamonius Craig with the catch, and that just rolls off the tongue so beautifully. And I think he's a guy who would probably compete for that starting spot right off the bat. And I know that Auburn's wide receiver core it performed pretty well in the spring, not like star-studded that we were expecting. I think at 6'2", he offers the go up and get it high pointing level, and he's also got the speed to match. And
yep.
I see where you wrote that he turned down the Malzahn offense to try at Colorado. That's hilarious, because I'm sure he didn't want to block for his college career.
Oh,
but yeah, I think getting Montana Lamonius Craig, not only for the name alone, but for his playstyle alone, would be awesome for a year one under Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, it's a shame Gus Johnson doesn't call for ESPN, because hearing him throw that name out on Saturdays would just be glorious. Would be absolutely fantastic. Just random side note, he wore number 15 during the spring game. I mean, he wore number one for the majority of his career and then 15 in the spring game, which I don't know if that's what he was sticking with this season. I don't know if Deion came in and said somebody else has taken number one, you step off, and then he decided, you know, that's one of the reasons why he's leaving. I'm kidding. But for real, this kid has shown flashes, 3 catches, 154 yards, and a touchdown in the spring game for the Buffs. Is somebody that Auburn can circle back to and is a well-rounded player. That would be plug and play is the words I used in the article that I wrote. And I think that's pretty descriptive of what he could mean for the Auburn's receiving corps. So those are 6 players that the Auburn Tigers, we believe, have a legitimate opportunity to land. Will they get all of them? We'll have to see. It would add on to what is already a very loaded transfer portal class for the Tigers. And it would honestly be to get a quarterback like Thorne or like Thompson would be huge. It'd be very, very big, just projecting out what Auburn's going to do this season. So you can keep up with all of things going on in the transfer portal for the Tigers over at auburndaily.com. theauburndaily.com. You can follow the show on Twitter over at The Auburn Daily. Check us out over on Facebook as well. Follow Dylan and I on Twitter at your boy the tank at @LanceDaw_. We will see you all tomorrow for another episode of The Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.